Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, I got a little hot there at the end of the hour, didn't it, Jane?
Hey, for once it wasn't me.
I like that. I know usually it is
Jeffrey's
you, right?
Great though, and you know, and he and Joe are fine. And
well, I think he's completely wrong on this, but what I will say, and I said this to Joe in the hallway, is that look, I'm and I would admit this, and Jeffrey might still be listening. I'm a white guy, and I have
it's
never walked
in.
Well, I've never walked into a convenience store like. A black friend, I'll never forget this, a black friend of mine years ago, this goes back a couple of decades, and you get stared down or looked at just because of the color of your skin. So I don't have that perspective.
You know what?
And I really, people might not believe this, but I do think about that in terms of these racial arguments and debates that we have. But in this particular case, I do think that it's incumbent upon people to take a step back and not automatically go to racism and say, okay, you know what? There are real instances of racism. This was just some guy messing up. And again, I should get a linguistics professor on to talk about this.
Well,
because
it is interesting.
There
that
is
it
an explanation.
Twice.
Right. Well, it is interesting, but it's happened more than
the
that.
Same week.
But what
right.
happened to the guy in Rochester is not the first time it's happened either, not even on that name, because I think it's one of those names, again, with the Luther and the Junior that, you know, people right. kind of mix them up. Anyway, we'll.
But I will tell you, though. You know, when you talk about unconscious bias, I mean, being a woman, I mean, I'm sorry, it's out there. And you know what? And I do think it's generational. I think older men are more likely to say inappropriate things to me and, you know, and other women. And most of the time, most of the time it doesn't bother me. The stuff that bothers me is like pay gap. Like when you're not in the room, that's when, you know, being offended by words is one level. But not being in the room, that's when women are
yep,
really
okay,
getting
but, you know,
discriminated
here,
against.
Now I'm going to come off like a jackass here, which I often do. But let me tell you something. You know, why can't sometimes guys can be guys. Jane, you more than anyone, and one of the reasons
I'm
like you.
I'm as easygoing as they come
well, but,
on this
issue. No, something else, though. One of the reasons I like you, and people try to convince me otherwise all the time, is because you can mix it up with the boys,
not,
and you can
I'm
use salty language, and you can be
right.
maybe inappropriate amongst friends.
But that's why when it does offend me, it's at a level where, I mean, like I had
Bill
a judge.
Bill Clinton grabbed your ass.
Right, and that didn't bother me, but I had a judge send me home to put on proper clothes.
Well, that's
once.
Ridiculous. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Well, those are real examples
those are real
of things.
Examples. And so unless you've ever really had that, I have a level of sensitivity, I think, because if it happens to you, you realize that it just gets exhausting sometimes that you have to have these conversations.
Okay, well, we'll move on from that. We'll get to the winter weather disaster that's impending here. Steve Templeton is standing by. He's listening to all our hardcore discussion here, but he's working over there at News 4 as chief meteorologist. How are you, Steve?
Hey, I'm good. First off, it's not going to be as bad as what we had last week. So,
now I'm kind of bummed by that because
really?
I missed last week, and I kind of like the snow,
right.
especially on the weekend.
We don't need another foot of snow.
I know. That's what I'm told. Although it's all gone already, pretty much.
Yeah, that's true. It is melt. Actually, a lot more of it will be gone because it starts as rain, and that's actually one of the big reasons why it's not going to be as heavy. I'll tell you what, if this was, instead of rain, it was all snow, we really could have some really high-end totals, but it is going to be rain, and it starts after the evening commute, so we've got a dry evening commute. Now we're thinking somewhere between 9 to 11 p.m. That's been pushed back a little bit for the start time, but rain moves into the metro late evening. Continues overnight, could be heavy at times, over half an inch of rain, and at some point in the morning, between about 6 a.m. and 10 a.m., could be a really kind of painfully slow process from north to south, but we're going to see this changeover from rain to snow, maybe a little sleet mixed in there. Once we get into snow, the big question is it heavy or is it light? And if it's heavy, that's where we're going to get up to higher end of our 2 to 4 inch forecast for St. Louis. If it's really light, we could get 2 inches, and it's not out of the question that it could even be a little less than 2 inches. So there's still some uncertainty here, but in St. Louis, 2 to 4 inches is what we're expecting. And watch for that changeover from snow and potentially slick roads anywhere from the late morning through the afternoon. Even though it winds down by late afternoon and evening for St. Louis, we're below freezing, and we'll stay below freezing until early next week. So any moisture that's frozen is going to stay slick into the evening.
What about, because I know a couple of days ago we were really focusing a little bit on the winds tomorrow, too. Is that still an issue?
Yep. Yeah, it is. They'll be strongest in the afternoon, gusting to around 35 miles per hour, maybe a couple hit around 40 miles per hour. It's especially a problem if you're driving during one of those moderate snow bursts. It'll be blowing and drifting no matter what. It'll go from a heavy wet snow to kind of a fluffy or dry snow later in the day. But if snow's falling and you have that wind, that's where the visibility is really reduced. And I think that potential for some heavy or moderate snow in St. Louis is that late morning to about early afternoon.
So if people want to drive from St. Louis to Kansas City for the football game,
there will be a lot of people doing that.
Go Sunday.
Sunday morning. Are they going to be okay? Probably?
Yeah, they'll be A-okay. In fact, I don't know if you've heard the game earlier in the week. We were thinking maybe it would be in the single digits. Not anymore. We backed off on that. The forecasts aren't as cold. So it's like 22, 25
degrees. Oh, that's nice. I like
Balmy.
That. Patrick Mahomes would do just fine in 22 degree weather.
I feel like the forecasters just set people up so that they feel better about 22 degrees.
That's right. We'll take it. Right. Yeah. I might be one of those people.
Just a quick peek into next week, though. Somebody told me maybe something else on Tuesday. Is that a possibility?
There is another system, and the way it's tracking now, it actually looks like mostly rain, maybe a quick little hit of some light snow Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. At this point, it doesn't look big. There's another system actually Friday that could put down some light snow accumulations as well, and it's really an active pattern, so I think we're going to continue to see over the next 2 weeks kind of hits of snow here and there. So be prepared. Winter's here.
All right, Steve, enjoy the weekend if you can.
I'll be working tomorrow morning and afternoon. So.
All right, we'll be thinking about
Thanks,
you.
Bud. Thanks, bud.
Take care. News 4's Chief Meteorologist Steve Templeton back with us this afternoon at 4:40. So maybe not as bad. I told this story a little bit, I think, yesterday. There's a little girl that's in my daughter's daycare who had a birthday party scheduled for last Saturday. Got it canceled.
Aww.
And we're thinking that they might cancel again tomorrow. So far, her mom has held off, which, you know, the kids are going to be disappointed. This poor little girl is going to be bummed out. This may not be as bad as, you know, hopefully anticipated.
Snowmageddon was, it was much worse last week. You missed it. I was like, boy. I'm like, he's out in LA.
The only part that I'm disappointed in is the Saturday just playing in the snow, because I heard
that is
Friday in
snow.
Particular, people took 4 or 5, maybe even more than that, just to get home. And that would not have been fun.
It took me 2.5 hours to get basically from 270 in Manchester.
Fred Bottomer took, I think he said 4 hours for him to get, you know, back to where he lives, which is not too far from here, by the way, South Carolina. You know, I missed my, Dave, these things, we just went to this new system and I can't find my go-to sound effects. Oh, man. Is that even up there? Now, Klein's going to come in here and he's going to say, it's right here.
Yeah.
You dummy.
Well, you know, you would have been proud of me last week, though. I mean, I shoveled some snow. I mean, I couldn't walk for 3 days, but I shoveled some wet snow in a major way. So that was I'm going to be one of those idiots that has the heart attack. I swear, you know.
But how about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
It was right in front of me, by the way. This is what happens at home. You know, I called my wife this morning. She was in D.C., just got back, and I couldn't find my daughter's. There were a pair of boots.
Okay, yeah.
I'm like,
where
are the boots? What did you do with them? Of course, did you look in the closet? Yes, I looked in the closet. Well,
no,
then I went
didn't.
Back the second, well, I did, but then I went back the second time. And every time, I don't know what it is. It's so frustrating.
No one can find anything except mom. My kids, this is what they say. It's not lost until mom says it's lost. And so I barred the where is my phrase in my house. I'm like, just, you all need to take care of your own junk. I mean,
wow.
I have kids that are old enough to take care of their own junk. Like, you have a toddler.
Well, but I have kids that are old enough, too. That's
right.
been one of
like,
which has been spending.
Where is my? So they've learned that they just really don't have to keep track of anything because I know where everything is. And that gets old.
I'm really bad at it because I just, and what happens is.
You called your wife in D.C. for a where is my. That's pretty awesome.
I did.
You need to reevaluate.
What I do, and Becky would tell you this, is that when I can't find something, okay, let's say it's a.
Do you get crabby? I bet you do.
No. Two things, okay? If Becky's listening, she'd probably call right now. I get crabby and I obsess. I cannot let it go. So if I can't find something, let's say there's
Rain
a hat.
Rain Man on the loose.
Yeah, if there's a hat, let's say it's my Chiefs hat, right? And I can't find it. I circle the house, I mean,
and you recircle.
Nonstop. And I recircle and I recircle and I cannot. And it's terrible because I think it's a mild, what would that be,
OCD.
Because I can't get it. And here's what I do. So my daughter, there was another pair of boots, not these boots. And keep in mind, just so you know, I do all the shopping for Alexa. I'm a shopper.
That's what Peggy told
I'm
me.
I'm a spender.
You buy the clothes.
I buy the cool clothes. So there was another, I bought her because I like to spoil her. I bought a cool pair of those little, you know, fancy Uggs, which are not cheap. So we could not.
You are hopeless.
We could not find them for 2 weeks. We couldn't find them.
Wow.
And we called friends that we were at. I'm like, I was bummed, right? Because, right. And I was obsessing over it. So I said to Becky, this was, I think it was, honest to God, 2 weeks ago today or a week and a half ago. It might have been 2 weeks ago today. I said, you know what? No, I know it was 2 weeks ago today. There's a different reason for that. And you'll figure it out in a second.
Okay.
I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy her another pair. Because I had to set, somehow my brain has to, that's how it works,
to be
right?
Satiated.
Well,
yeah.
there's a blanket that I keep over my sectional downstairs when my kids are there, and just because of the dogs and stuff like that, and it kind of drapes over the couch, and the boots were discovered underneath
the blanket
kind of in the corner of where the sectional was. So mm-hmm. lo and behold,
you
they were discovered.
The boots.
Yes.
So
thankfully.
You could like breathe again.
Yeah, it was before I bought another pair. I've done that before and I've actually not told. So if I've lost something before, one time I think I did this, I couldn't find something. I bought another pair and then I found what I had. So I had like two pair. Didn't admit that until just now. Made
well,
the confession.
The confession right? is. No, you know why I know where everything is? It's because I'm OCD and I know where everything is because everything has to have a place.
Yeah, but what if it's gone?
Well, it's
what
not,
if it disappears?
It's not usually gone.
But what if it does?
I can say with 99% of the time, I find whatever piece of junk somebody in my family is looking
for. Did I ever tell you the mystery of the red sheets at my house? Did I ever tell you that story? I think I told Carol.
Sounds
so we
a
had
weird.
Moved into our house. Again, I move all the time, but this was two houses ago. And we had some red sheets that we bought for a guest room for my mom and dad when they come. And they were, we know that we washed them. We remember seeing them in the laundry room, gone. Vanished. We had a painter
with
that
the
was,
socks, like the, all the socks that you've
no,
lost.
Just gone. Well, yeah, that would have been a good.
Right.
No, did not know where. So it's been a running joke for years. Where did they go? Did someone take? Why would anyone take them? You know, this is just ridiculous. So when we moved into the new house, I was unpacking one of those big plastic. What are they? The Rubbermaid bins
right,
or whatever
right,
that you
yeah,
put things in.
Right.
And there were a bunch of towels that I had put in one bin, and I started going through the towels. And lo and behold, the bottom of the bin was where the red sheets were. Mystery solved.
There the red go. Sheets showed up. And what did I say? 99% of the time, it usually shows up.
And there's
up.
Always an... But that took 6 years. That was a six-year... Yeah.
Loss.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Mystery. Obsessing
That's very weird.
Over
no,
6 years.
No, I can't
years.
Say that. I'm trying to think. I'm not sure I've ever had a six-year find. But I live in the house I grew up in, so I know where everything is. I know where all the childhood stuff of my brother and sisters is. It's in my house.
Maybe I didn't know. You are in the house that you grew up in.
Well, I was 10 or 11 when we
okay.
moved into the
oh,
house. Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, I have all the old junk.
We're going to take a break, Jane. We're going to come back. I can't even believe what I'm about to explain to you next about this PC nonsense that's going out there where some of these young millennials are targeting, of all things, the show that you starred in for years.
I know. You're going to make me mad, aren't you?
Seinfeld.
And they can't take it.
Wait
okay,
till you hear.
Okay, let's discuss.
Coming up.
It's Mark Reardon now. Total Information PM starts at 4 with news, weather, traffic, and information you need on KMOX.
Friday afternoon on KMOX, lightening up here just a little bit, although this might not be lightening up what we're about to get into. We have number one songs. I also got a binge-worthy TV show for you, Jane, coming
oh,
up, too. Something new. Did you see my Critics' Choice picks that came back from last week?
I saw a lot of them. I may not have seen all of them.
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll kind of segue into TV in the next segment. We'll do number one songs. But this is TV-related. So, you know, we get these people that are out there saying that everything... let me give you an example. So, a couple of days ago, we found out that Jason Reitman, who was here for the movie Up in the Air, of course, he just came through for his movie The Front Runner at the St. Louis International Film Festival, the son of Ivan Reitman. Ivan Reitman directed Ghostbusters,
yes.
Which, by the way, is the answer, in case this ever comes up in the future, the answer to the trivia question, what movie were Mark and Rebecca Reardon watching when Alexa Reardon was born? Ghostbusters. It was on in the hospital room.
Well, when my son was born, it was Rio Bravo.
See, you remember these things, right?
Yep.
So, Jason Reitman is going to do a Ghostbusters movie, and I said, yeah, wait until the Me Too radicals get a hold of that because of the Girl Power movie. And what I meant by that, and just to clarify just a little bit, I do think that, obviously, some of the Me Too moments were very significant and important, but I do think that for the crowd that thinks that Baby It's Cold Outside should be banned, you're out of your mind, you're crazy. Okay, so this is along those lines. This is serious, too. This looks like it's from The Onion. Dave, this is like
not,
this.
Just say, not The Onion.
Angelica Florio, Bustle.com. These 13 jokes from Seinfeld are super offensive now. Yes, that includes the soup Nazi. I kid you not. You remember the soup,
but
Nazi,
you know what,
Jane,
though?
Right?
It's funny because I've thought about it, and I've thought about saying no soup for you, but then I thought I would get attacked.
Okay, well, listen here.
No, hey, Jerry.
Yeah.
I didn't know you like soup. Hard to believe. This guy makes the best soup in the city, Jerry. The best. You know what they call him? Soup Nazi.
Shh. All right. I'm not letting you cut in line.
Why not?
Because if he catches us, we'll never be able to get soup again.
Iconic episode. One of the, this is what she writes. One of the unfortunate consequences of being a fan that's now almost 30 years old, of a show that's now 30 years old, it may not feel relevant or relatable when you watch it later. With Seinfeld, that change in enjoyability may even be greater due to the 90s comedy frequent pushing of boundaries. The titular star of the show, Jerry Seinfeld, has frequently spoken publicly about believing that society has become overly politically correct. So you can probably imagine how some of Seinfeld's non-PC humor could feel outdated today. These are the 13 jokes. That's the first one. What might be the most well-known joke from Seinfeld is also one of its most disappointing ones. Maybe in 1995, when the episode titled The Soup Nazi aired, it felt okay for viewers. But in 2018, when groups of neo-Nazis have become noticeably emboldened, using the term Nazi to label someone as a joke, Jane, that does not sit very well anymore. Here's the next target.
You can't give something and then take it back. I mean, what are you...
What?
Indian giver, right?
A person that
what?
Well, a person that gives something and then they're dissatisfied and they wish they had never given it to the person that they originally gave it to.
You mean like an Indian giver?
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that term.
All right, so this is what she writes. Joking about a Native American person being an Indian giver was never okay, and it's definitely not okay now. Joking that a racial stereotype about an oppressed group is actually truthful is a dangerous road, and Seinfeld probably couldn't get away with doing that in 2018. Well, I hope that he could, actually.
Well, then she better not watch All in the Family.
Oh, my God. Well, oh, my God, you can't watch that.
But God forbid, that actually helped. That did more for that did more to get the discussion going.
It did.
Than anything.
You're right.
And it's like we're going backwards now because now we just don't talk about it and make sure that it all stays underground.
Yeah, well, that's what we do. By the way, if you watch those episodes, it's pretty jarring to see what happened in 1973,
absolutely,
right?
What they actually could get away with.
Right.
You couldn't show two people in a bed, but you could say things that you could never get away with now.
Isn't that funny? All right, here's the other one here.
Spill. The Puerto Rican flag.
Nah, that was inappropriate because I guess they called it out in 1998 when it aired because Manuel Mirabi, who is the president of the National Puerto Rico Rican Coalition, called it unconscionable.
Why? Because they were waving a flag?
I don't know. Some of these things. Let's see here. The joke that someone thinks Jerry and George are in a same-sex relationship, which was a really funny episode.
Then all that was on purpose. We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, of course not.
I mean, it's fine if that's who you are.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have many gay friends.
My father's gay.
Do they not? I don't think she understands what they're
offensive.
Trying. Look, that's exactly part of the point of the humor. That's what they're doing there. It's just amazing. And
well,
by
just
the way,
because you're not. I mean, just because you're not doesn't mean you're slamming gay people.
Of course not, Gene. But here's what I guess. See if I can find.
I say not that there's anything wrong with that all the time. Not just about that. I mean. But that's an iconic
So
line.
I used to use this. This is probably inappropriate now because years ago when Kevin Wheeler was here, he was saying something. I always like to pull this one out just because I think it's funny. Kevin on another station. You know Kevin or not? He used to work here.
Yeah.
He's on another station now, so we don't like him. No, I still like him. He took me to Guns N' Roses last year. So I'm driving in. I'm driving in, and this is what I hear him say, and I thought, I got to save this thing.
I can tell you for a fact that it happens, and I can tell you because I see these men with their clothes off.
He was talking about baseball players and how fit they were coming off the off season. So I would play things like this.
Let me be clear. I am not gay. I never have been gay.
Remember right. him? That was, what was the guy's name? That was the wide stance guy.
Yeah. The guy in the bathroom from North Dakota or somewhere.
Yeah. So, but you know, again, you can't do stuff like that.
Well, you can't say that you're not gay.
Guess not. Here we go. Here's another one.
Well, Mackie's back in town. Nice duds.
Konnichiwa. Yeah, it's a gift from my Japanese friends. They're known as gift givers.
Kramer visiting Japanese businessman staying in his apartment. Since the space is limited, Jerry's neighbor has the house guest sleep in dresser drawers. That just wouldn't fly now. See, this person does not understand humor, apparently. Here's another one.
My name is Babu Bhatt. I will be your waiter.
Thank you.
Our specials are tacos, moussaka, and franks and beans.
Well, what do you recommend, my good fellow?
The turkey.
Well, the turkey it'll be. And may I say you have a splendid establishment here, my friend. I'm sure you'll flourish at this location for many, many years.
Of course, Babu Butt was deported, and that's not appropriate. I'm going to have to skip around here. Let's see. George, is the cleaning lady, is that the one where George is looking at the girl's boobs? Is that what it is? Oh, I see. It's actually listed as George in the breasts. Okay, here we go.
What were you doing?
It's not my fault. You poked me.
You're supposed to just take a peek after a poke. You were like you just put a quarter in one of those big metal things on top of the Empire State Building. It was cleavage. I couldn't look away.
This is what she writes. Everything about this storyline is awkward, and it's probably enough to make any diehard Seinfeld question the show if they think about it for too long. No, actually, it won't. Won't make me think about it
and
at all.
And I'm a girl.
Because it was funny, and a lot of these things are funny, and it's supposed to push boundaries. But this is where we are in 2019 with these little, you know, snowflake millennials. Everything is offensive.
Which means nothing is.
I don't even know where to go. Because when Dave brought that up to me the other day, I thought, well, that's not real. There's no way. But it is. And
that's maybe sad.
The most frightening. It is sad. All right, Jane, I want to talk about a couple of things, but I got to get back to the Seinfeld thing. We ran out of time.
No, because now that we're, like, talking about these clips.
There's a couple others here that are
hilarious.
On the list that are just ridiculous that Dave Klein pointed out here. This is number 9 on her list. Again, if you're just joining us, so this woman at Bustle.com wrote this piece about how these 13 jokes from Seinfeld are super offensive now. That includes the soup Nazi. We can't say things like this. So this is one that she points toward.
Hello? Who's this? Donna Chang? Oh, I'm sorry, I must have dialed the wrong number.
Donna Chang?
I should have talked to her. I love Chinese women.
Isn't that a little racist?
If I like their race, how can that be racist?
So, look, Jerry Seinfeld's brilliance was that he was illustrating these things in very unique ways. He's
making
targeting
fun.
Racism, right?
Right. He's making fun of it, which is another way to target people. You know what I mean? If you make them look stupid, that's another way of denouncing racism.
Angelica wrote, hopefully the issues with that exchange don't require further explanation for anyone in 2018. How about this pig man?
Hey, I just saw a pig man. A pig man! Talking about a pig man! I walked into the wrong room and there he was!
A pig man!
A pig man! Half pig, half man!
Well, of course, he discovered that he was a fat little mental patient later, which that's inappropriate. This is George, number 11.
I was sitting there in the office, and the cleaning woman comes in. I've always been attracted to cleaning women. Cleaning women, chambermaids.
Yeah, chambermaids. I'm attracted to them, too.
Yeah, that's just inappropriate because I guess George finds a woman that who can't talk to him attractive, and you can't do that. I don't know. Some of these things.
Most women wouldn't talk to George. That's the funny part.
Yes. What's the, I'm missing one here. Here, let's see. I got the, Dave, I don't think I have the whole list. Let's see. Maybe I do. Well, we'll see what it is here.
See what it is.
We'll just play it here.
I was sitting there in the office, and the cleaning woman comes in.
Well, that's the one I just played, right?
Yeah.
I've always been.
Let's see. How about this?
Why don't you take the handicap spot?
You think?
No. We'll find a space. There's spaces in the other lot.
Well, I don't want to walk that far.
What if a handicapped person needs it?
Oh, come on. They don't drive.
Yes, they do.
Have you ever seen a handicapped person pull into a space and park?
Well, the space is there. They must drive.
No, they don't. If they could drive, they wouldn't be handicapped.
See, that's just funny. That's just Kramer being Kramer.
It's right, and it's making fun of people who think that way.
Okay, then one more. And the last couple of pages of the stupid list she put together weren't in there, but this is one she targeted too.
Her nose is a little big.
Yeah, she's got a big nose.
I mean, big would even be okay. It's a little beyond big.
Mm. It's a schnoz.
Oh,
why
I'm just
is that
an
offensive?
Old. I'm an old white guy, Jane, and I laugh at racist jokes. What can I say?
Well,
right?
A schnoz is not racist. Like, I have a big nose, and I'm sure everybody sits around and laughs about that too. It's just the way it is.
All right, two things before we get to number one songs. One, and you pressed like and I think responded, and I just looked at it. You know, sometimes you put things on Twitter, and they're very innocuous, and they get more response than
right,
than
you don't
than
see
you
it coming.
And a lot of times, like, I'll put something up, I'll be real fired up about it. I'm like, you know what? This is going to get retweeted, and people, I got nothing, right?
Right.
Like, nothing.
You don't know sometimes.
So I get, you know, into crabby mood, which is 95% of the time in my life. And I get so tired of going to gas stations. And
So
I said, I think
I loved what you were talking about.
So here's
about
what I said. I said, I think I'd pay 25 cents per gallon more just to have a flipping gas station. That flipping was going to be something else if I could get away with it. That doesn't have pumps that ask 100 questions before allowing you to fill up the tank. And people went nuts on this thing.
Well, because it's so annoying. It's so hard. And now it's cold. So it's cold and you're punching numbers and you get madder and madder and madder. And then, of course, there's like you can't even pay people to pump gas anymore. So, I mean, like, right. So, yeah, it's terrible. I mean,
I had somebody, Brian chimed in and said, zip code, car wash, debit or credit, select fuel type, what's your favorite TV show, list of fears, and it just goes on and on. Now, somebody told me, and this leads me into another direction here, somebody told me they don't do that at Costco. But let me talk to you Costco gas people out there, including my mother and father, and I didn't point this out when they were in town. I'd rather do it anonymously on the radio so they can't potentially hear it, but they're probably listening right now. Here's what makes no sense to me. And I'm a Costco member, right? But I see people lined up like a half mile at Costco to save what? Like 7 cents a gallon on gas? I want to go up, and I might actually try this. I'm not going to do it in 22-degree weather, and go up and say, hey, here's a dollar. Go up to the QT because you're not going to waste all your time in line at
with
the Costco.
Your engine on.
Right. Now, I guess if the reason that you're right, exactly, there's another thing. You're burning more gas than you're saving driving into this line. People don't get that, I guess, right?
Right.
Someone's going to have to explain that to me, mom and dad. But they, you know, they're being frugal.
But it's the art of the game. I think it is. It's the art of like getting
too.
A bargain, I think that's like
too.
That drives people. But then I had to respond to you and say, I'm not going to buy from you anymore if you send me a survey. If I have something to say to you, I think it's great that you provide people.
Oh, you mean like the email follow-up surveys or even on the phone?
Just, I don't want to survey everything I do.
I don't either.
Would you please stop doing that? Like, I just think it's burdensome. Would you mind taking this 5-minute survey? Yeah, I do. Because if I had time, then, you know, I would reach out and tell you what I thought if I was upset by something or whatever, if I was really happy
about
something.
Well, they're trying to, I think what I understand the point of that in big corporations or whatever, they want to make sure that you are not getting crappy customer service people, but it does get annoying. So.
Well, I mean, that's fine. I have the feeling I'm just doing their market research and I don't think you should always use customers that way.
Okay. Before we get to number one songs, was that the Critics' Choice Awards? You watch Better Call Saul or you don't?
No, I have not because I didn't finish Breaking Bad.
Aha, yeah. So I had a great conversation with Odenkirk last week. He went to SIU Carbondale and he told me and Reese Sehorn, I finally figured out how to pronounce, well, because it's spelled R-H-E-A and I thought, I wasn't sure, but she introduced herself to me as Ree. They're not going to even start filming until April, unfortunately, but it's probably early fall for BTA for Better Call Saul.
But what's coming in April? Everything?
Game of Thrones.
Yes.
I was going to bring that up next.
Winter
it's amazing.
Is coming.
So I'm still trying to find time to watch my son.
We're going to start over.
Okay, so my son did exactly what we were talking about, my 18-year-old. This is the kid, by the way, that watched the entire series before the last season.
Seven.
In 7 days.
Okay, that he didn't sleep.
No, and that's a
weird.
Reflection on bad parenting, I think, as well.
That's what they do.
One thing I want to mention, though. Entertainment-wise, did you watch the first season of True Detective? Matthew McConaughey, Woody
Harrelson.
I liked
the first one. Okay. I did not like the second.
And nobody liked the second one. But nobody liked it because it was terrible.
Yeah.
Nobody even got through the second one.
The first one was good.
First one was outstanding, right? In fact, and I'll review a movie in the next hour called Destroyer with Nicole Kidman, directed by a Parkway Central alum, Karin Kusama, who was in town. And that movie, the reason I bring it up is that movie's got a real True Detective vibe, right? The new one. With Mahershala Ali.
Who I love.
Is fantastic. And I wrote to a couple of my TV colleagues that vote on Critics Awards. I said, hey, I'm going to save you a bunch of time. If you're an Emmy voter, if you're a Golden Globe voter, if you're a Critics' Choice voter, if you're a SAG voter, just hand
just
it to Mahershala Ali. Just because his work in this after just two episodes, if you can believe it, is just amazing.
So I can watch the third without having seen the second.
You can watch it even for those of you who didn't watch the first season.
You
doesn't matter. You can jump in on it. All
stories.
Separate stories.
Yeah.
But so far, and I've been looking for something to kind of, you know, blow me away a little bit. And these first two episodes
have been
great.
Because I'm done with Maisel.
Right. Now, I have two more to go on that. And
great
speaking, I saw Rachel. I said hi to Rachel. Her dad was there last week.
Him.
And then Tony Shalhoub, who of course plays her father. It was great.
He's also Monk, by the way.
He was Monk. That's right.
He was Monk, which is, of course,
well, he's a Green Bay guy, so I talked a little Packers football with him. Thank you, Rob.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Roger, Jane, we have audio cut of the day here in just a couple of minutes. One thing, piggybacking on our PC political correctness, the Seinfeld topic and everything, this is, I think, encouraging. The San Jose Comedy Club that hosted the Louis C.K. show this week on Wednesday night said in response to protests that erupted outside the doors, "We don't censor artists. We see comedy as the final frontier, and we don't censor artists. We want them to perform without scrutiny." This is at the San Jose Improv, where he performed. He said, "We trust that our audiences can decide for themselves what their limits are. We understand that not everyone will agree with our decision. We respect their right to protest. We respect Louis C.K.'s right to perform." Absolutely. Now, we need more clubs like this and more people saying, no, we're not going to cave to that. If you don't like Louis C.K.,
don't go see him,
right? And let's quit. I'm so tired of being told that everyone is homophobic and racist and hates women, and it just never, ever stops. And I think a lot of us are just worn out by it.
Well, I think I wish we could just talk about issues and problems rather than everybody's feelings. Everybody has feelings.
Well, it's your party that's all into identity politics.
Oh, no, your kooks get all crazy, too. That's why I say it's the 15% on both sides. And you know what I figured out is they're very similar. So everything that they complain about Trump doing, oh, ignoring the law, ignoring, you know, I mean, the rules don't apply to him and, you know, blah, blah. It's the same thing. And I'm like, they're the same.
There are a lot of common factors on both sides. Yeah.
If I like you, you're allowed to do whatever you want. If you're on my team, you're allowed to do whatever you want no matter what. And the hypocrisy of that on both sides.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't believe
there
that I
go.
Just said that on the air, but I would. Here, let's do this here.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Cut of the day, Jane Duker, is sponsored by the Good Feed Store. Pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. We featured this on the roundtable earlier, this big BuzzFeed story. So let's get the original allegation. This is Anthony Cormier about Donald Trump and Michael Cohen.
We learned from two law enforcement sources that the President of the United States directed his longtime personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, to lie under oath about the negotiations to build a tower in Moscow while Trump was running for office in 2016. It's one of the earliest pieces of evidence that suggests that the President of the United States was, to be frank, asking someone to commit a crime. This is an important moment because it's not been known up until now how much or how often the President was involved, what his sort of thoughts and feelings were with Mr. Cohen. A number of lawmakers in Capitol Hill are asking for more information and attempting to investigate further. It appears that Mr. Cohen is going to go and testify in February before the House, and we've been told that this is one of the issues that could come up. Mr. Cohen has an agreement that appears in place not to discuss anything that he's told in special counsel, but it may be difficult for Congress not to ask why or whether he was directed to lie to them.
Categorically false.
What about the polls? Did he direct him to rig any polls?
I think that one statement, those two words sum it up better than anything anybody else can say, and that it's categorically false.
Sarah Sanders also asked if the State of the Union is canceled this year.
He's going to continue to communicate directly with the American people, whether it's speeches across the country, through social media, through taking questions from you guys, and we'll continue to do that, whether it's on Capitol Hill or elsewhere.
I don't think that was an answer, but there you go. That's our audio cut for the day. Jane, have a great weekend. We'll talk next Friday. See ya.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.